एवं स भगवान कृष्णो वृंदावन चरा खच्छति. वंस कृष्ण द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड भगवान हुज हार्ट इज वेरी, डज एनीवन रिमेंबर, सॉफ्ट. आई हर्ड समवन से वृंदावन चरा खच्छति. वंस खच्छति वंस. He was wandering around Vrindavan. Yayo, he went Raman, Reti, Rajan. He went without Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is called Rama here because he always brings pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan, and he brings pleasure to Krishna. And he's really going to bring pleasure to Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan when he stops the residents of Vrindavan from entering the Yamuna. When they see Krishna enwrapped in the coils of Kaliya. Kalindim Sakibir Vrata. So as they were wandering all about Vrindavan, they arrived at the Kalindi River, the Yamuna River, and along with the cowherd boys. And Krishna, Vrita, means surrounded by all the cowherd boys. There were many reasons why the cowherd boys were surrounding Krishna. Perhaps the most obvious is they were with Krishna, and his face and form was so beautiful. How could they not be surrounding him on all sides? Maybe the harmonium, Mr. Sound Engineer, a little louder, please. And another reason was that Krishna wanted to be in the association of the Sakas, the cowherd boyfriends. And yet another reason is Yashodamaya. As it said, now you stand in front of Krishna. Balaram, you always stand in front of Krishna to protect him. You know how restless he is. And Sridham, you stand on this side. Vijay, you always stand behind him. In this way, Mother Yashoda had instructed all the cowherd boys to surround Krishna and protect him, because she didn't at all want him to go out into the forest alone. After all, his feet were so tender. And the cows, when they walk, they have hoofs on their feet, their legs. And therefore, they don't mind stepping on the pebbles and the thorns. But Krishna's feet are so, so very soft. And he refused to wear shoes. He refused to wear leather shoes. He said, this is against the Dharma of the cowherd community. And one time Krishna said, I'll wear shoes if you make shoes for all the cows also. 900,000 cows times 4, that's a lot of shoes. And they said, and the cowherd men said, of course we can't do that. And their feet are so hard, they don't mind. And then Krishna, that's when he said, no, this is against our Dharma. So Krishna used to wander around Vrindavan, and the land of Vrindavan, the dust of Vrindavan was so soft. And sometimes in different places in Vrindavan, some places around Giriraj, some places around the Sakhi villages, the dust is so soft and so thick that when you see it, you want to look around to make sure no one is looking, and then you just want to dive in. I actually somewhere have a photo of Satchinanda Maharaj dived in and completely covered with this powder-like soft dust of Vrindavan. And it is so much fun. So, the next verse, please. Here's the BBT translation. O King, the Supreme Lord Krishna thus wandered about the Vrindavan area, performing his pastimes. And once, Surrounded by his boyfriends, he went without Balaram to the river Jamuna. Ata gavas cha gopas cha. So Krishna went, and as he was going with the gavas, what does gavas mean? The cows. Cha gopas cha, and the cowherd boys. And our acharyas mentioned two reasons why there's a cha before gopas and a cha after. Is because Krishna had equal affection for the cows and for the boys. And another reason we will explain just in a moment. So Niga Gatapidita, that it was the summer. It was the summer, and tapa, there was so much heat. And Pidita, they were distressed by the heat of the summer, and there they were by the Yamuna River. Dushtam jalam papustasya. But this river, the Kalindi, had been contaminated. Dushtam, contaminated. Jalam, the water, papustasya. And despite the fact that it was poisoned, contaminated by Kaliya, because they were tortured and distressed by the heat of the Vrindavan summer. And if you've ever been in Vrindavan during the summer, you know what heat is, and you know what thirst is, and practically speaking, no matter how much water you drink, it does not quench your thirst. But the boys, distressed by the heat of the summer and their thirst, they drank the water, Trishna Arta, because they were tormented. Trishna means thirst, Arta, distressed. They were tormented. And therefore, Vishadushitam, the poison in the water, they drank that. So some acharyas say the cha and the cha mean that they drank the water together, the cows and the boys. Otherwise, if the cows drank first, the boys, seeing the death of the cows, they certainly wouldn't drink. So they drank at the same time, some acharyas say. But some say that the cows drank the water, and Krishna at this time was walking slowly behind the cows and the boys, because this could not happen if he was in their presence, direct presence. So some say when the cows drank the water and fell down on the edge of the water dead, that the cowherd boys felt they had lost their lives, practically speaking, because in the first edition of the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, there was a mistranslation of Goraksha that Prabhupada was very displeased with, because it means cattle protection, Goraksha, Krishna Goraksha Vanijam. But the editor changed it to cattle raising, from cow protection to cattle raising, quite a big difference. So the relationship between the cowherd community and the boys and the cows was so intimate and affection. Practically speaking, the cows were family members. And when the boys saw that the cows had drunk from the poison Yamuna water and fell down dead, they drank the water and thought, we have no reason to continue living. And they died. So Krishna, as we shall hear very soon, of course this is Krishna's arrangement. Because how could this happen in Braja without Krishna's sanction? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, they drank without Krishna being present because they were tormented by the summer heat. That was actually Srila Sanatana Goswami. And Vishwanath says, ignoring Krishna, who was walking slowly behind the cows in great thirst, they ran quickly to the water. The cows ran, and the cowherd boys ran right after them. Oh, aren't we, Ata, Gavas, no, we're going forward here. If you go forward. Vishambhastar upasritya, upasrishya, that this poison water, it was so poison, and the last word of the last verse was visha, poison, and this verse begins with visha ambas, ambas, water. The water was so poisoned that simply, upasrishya, simply by touching it, simply by touching that water, Nipetur vyasava save. Save means they all, Nipetur, they all fell down to the ground, lifeless. In other words, they had died. Salilante, just on the edge of the water. They didn't have to go in very, very deeply or anything like that. And this is what Krishna is right there in their presence. Krudvaha means, here Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Maharaj Prickett. And, hero, you great hero of the Kuru dynasty, because he wants to encourage Maharaj Prickett. Because, and this will come out many, many times, that when these great personalities who have their relationship with Krishna hear about this pastime or other pastimes of Krishna where there is distress, they don't take it as a story, and they don't take it as if you're watching a documentary movie or a documentary on the television or somewhere, or a news broadcast that's going on where there's distress in a far corner of the earth and you don't know anyone and you just watch it and you see the people whose children or parents are crushed in an earthquake and they're crying and crying and crying and you're watching this, but it doesn't touch the heart because there is no sambandha, there is no relationship with those people that we experience. Even though a very soft-hearted person will feel terrible to see any kind of suffering of others. But when there is relationship, it is intolerable. So because Maharaj Prickett had such a deep, internal, loving relationship with Krishna, that Sukadeva Goswami felt that he needed some encouragement. Oh, great hero of the Kuru dynasty. And this will come out still a little bit further. Now, vikshatan vai tatabhutan. Viksha means upon seeing them, he saw them. Krishna saw them. And the word that Sukadeva Goswami uses, tatabhutan, which means in such a difficult condition. He didn't describe it in any detail. Because if you think of someone who's been poisoned, we don't want to think about it for the same reason that Sukadeva Goswami didn't describe in any detail, but someone falling to the ground and their hands are this way and their throat is perhaps blackish or something like that. But he refused to describe any of these gruesome, terrible details. Because it was too much. And Krishna, though, he saw it. Viksha, vikshatan vai. Indeed, he saw the condition of the coward boys, the beloved cowherd boys and the beloved cows. Krishna Yogeshwara Ishwara, that he is the Ishwara, the controller and the protector of even the yogis. What to speak of the cows and the cowherd boys? He's known as Gopal. And this we will hear very soon. Krishna saw this. Krishna Yogeshwara Ishwara and Ikshamrita Varshinya. So what does Ikshaya mean? Iksha. His eyes. With his eyes. Amrita. Nectar. Varshini. Varshinya means a showering of nectar came from his eyes to see this condition. And the same, almost the exact concept is explained in the second canto, seventh chapter, where the Leela avatars are described by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. He uses the term Anugraha Drishti Varsha. Anugraha Vishi Vristya. That his merciful glance, that's how it's often translated. Krishna's merciful glance. And some acharyas explain that merciful glance, seeing through that, the waves of tears came. And some acharyas explain that each boy, individually, Krishna embraced. There were countless boys, practically speaking. And he bathed them with the tears coming from his eyes, and the cows also. He didn't have to think, now I will save them from the tears coming from my eyes, because Krishna's mercy doesn't work like that. He is the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. All he has to do is have a desire, an experience. How could this have happened to my boys, my friends, and the cows under our protection in Braja? How could this have happened? This cannot happen. And immediately Krishna's Ichha Shakti, his potency of desire, starts evoking the other potencies, and they do everything. So Krishna began to cry, some acharyas say, or some say just by his merciful glance, they immediately came back to life. Now the next and the final line in this verse, Svanatam Sama Jivayat, they came to life again. Why? Because he was Svanatam. He was their Lord. And this is the special characteristic of all the cowherd boys, of all the cows, of all the elders, the gopas, the elderly gopis, the young gopis, the plants, the trees of Braja. Krishna was everything for them. They had given everything to Krishna. He was the master, although they weren't thinking, oh, you are our master. But in fact, he was the master of their life. He was the master of their existence. He was everything to them. And therefore, because of that sudhit, near and dear relationship, naturally, and everything in Vrindavan is swabhavika, it is natural. Krishna naturally loves the residents in Vrindavan and would do anything for them. He is conquered by them. The unconquerable Lord is conquered by them because they have given everything to him. How Krishna is conquered, the Supreme Lord is conquered by his devotees, the most excellent devotees being the residents of Vrindavan. This is the most elegant of all understandings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Parameshwara, the Param Brahman, the Supreme Lord. He is not a dictator sitting on a great throne. I once saw a cartoon that really described the people's general concept of who God is. There was some person, he was walking from this side down a road on a street, and there was a building behind him, and right above his head was a piano, and it was held by a thick rope, and that's what you saw in the computer screen. And there was the old man with the beard, God, looking at the computer screen with his finger just on the enter button, just waiting for him to be walking and right below the piano so he can... But that's not a very... That's not God. That's not Ishwara. That's not Krishna. Krishna is conquered by his devotees. He is the lover of his devotees. He's the devotee of his... Naparye ham. He is indebted to his devotees because they have given everything to him. So Krishna, his consciousness is impossible for us to understand because he knows and he simultaneously doesn't know. So he knew Kaliya was in there, but he was looking for the right reason to drive Kaliya from the Jamuna. And now the reason had come. So the boys immediately, Samanjivayat, they came back to their natural consciousness. They were awake. We'll just read the translation here. As soon as they touched the poison water, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness by the divine power of the Lord because they were part of Krishna's internal energy. This couldn't happen without his desire being behind it, and fell lifeless at the water's edge. O hero of the Kurus, seeing them in such a condition, Lord Krishna, the master of all mystic potencies, felt compassion, anugraha, mercy, compassion, loving affection for these devotees who had no Lord other than him. So he immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectarian glance upon them. Te sampritites smritayo. Immediately they regained their memory. They remembered what had happened. Samutaya jalantikat. And they rose up out of the water. They rose up out of the water. Asan sumittaha sarve. And they were vismita. They were so surprised because they knew they had died because of the poisoned water. So they rose up, all of them, with great surprise. Vikshamana parasparam. And they just looked at each other. How has this happened? How has this happened? We were dead, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. And we were brought back to life. What mantra was used, Vishwanath says. With their eyes, they looked at each other, asking, what is the secret behind what has happened? And one friend answered with his glance, I know the cause of our rescue. Sri Garga Muni, Garga Charja has said, Anena sarva durgani yunjananjas tarishyata. That this boy, this Krishna, will easily save you from all dangers. So therefore, remembering the words of Gargacharya, they all thought about Krishna with full and great absorption. And with astonishment, regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood up out of the water, and they began to look at one another in great astonishment. Anvanam Satatad Rajan. And they thought, after understanding, this must be Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami says, Rajan, O king here, because as the boys had been rescued by Krishna, Maharaj Prickett had also similarly been rescued from death by Krishna while he was still in the womb. They subsequently thought, O king, Govinda Anugrahe Iksitam, this must be caused by the merciful glance of Govinda. And therefore we see that so many of the devotees, when they're in impossible situations or they're just thinking about what they really want from Krishna, there are so many prayers where the devotees ask Krishna to just please, please place his merciful glance upon them. Because when Krishna's glance comes upon one, then automatically his mercy follows that glance. And for this reason, Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas recommend that when we chant our japa, we should sit with Tulsi Devi. Because Tulsi Devi is the greatest of devotees, and naturally Krishna is going to look at Tulsi Devi when she is before him. And if Krishna is looking at Tulsi Devi and you happen to be sitting next to Tulsi Devi, then perhaps his merciful glance will also fall upon us. So pitva visham pura tasya, those who have pitva have drunk the visha, the poison, and had lost their lives, puna utanam atmana, they rose up on their own, by their own power. So Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that, O king, for great devotees like you or Maharaj Yudhisthira, there is no cause of auspiciousness other than the mercy of the Lord. And yet the cowherd boys, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, didn't think, well, this is impossible to do, so therefore Krishna must be the Supreme Lord. They weren't thinking like that. Rather, they were thinking that Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, is such a great devotee of Lord Narayan, that Lord Narayan, the Supreme Lord, must be empowering Krishna's glance, so it has the potency that brings us back to life. And Srila Jiva Goswami comments, see, O Rajan, O King, Maharaj Prickett, because it's so important that Maharaj Prickett gets some hope. Because after all, perhaps he has 3 days left to live, perhaps it's only 2 days. So he needs that hope that one under Krishna's protection need not fear anything, any circumstance. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, O Krishna, O Rajan, O King, Krishna has also protected you and brought you back to life. Described in first canto, the 8th chapter of the Bhagavatam. O king, the coward boys then considered that although they had drunk poison, And in fact, they had died. Simply by the merciful glance of Govinda, they had regained their lives. And they were able to stand up. They stood up by their own strength. So that's how the 15th chapter of the 10th canto ends. And now, how will Krishna deal with this? This snake, Kaliya, has taken up residence in his own Yamuna River, and he has filled the Yamuna with such poison that as soon as the cows, who were as dear to him as the coward boys, his friends, his Priyasakas, they touched the water, they drank the water, they fell down dead. Now, how is Krishna going to deal with this? Now, one thing that I've, trying to prepare for speaking, and of course, one of the most wonderful things about preparing for speaking is that one is forced to study and read carefully and deeply and try to keep something in one's consciousness. So in looking at this, certain things really struck me. And perhaps I shall mention other things. But one of them was very, very touching, is that Krishna, as we heard yesterday, is Lila Purushottama. That he performs, he's the supreme performer of pastimes. But Lila also means play. So when Krishna is going to chastise Kaliya, he's going to do it in such a playful way, such an enjoyable and playful way, that it's astounding. He gets everything done, but with such elegance and playfulness that everything becomes a sweet pastime. Even the killing of a poisonous snake becomes the sweetest of pastimes. Or as we will hear very soon, I can't speak about it more than just mention it, even his saving the Brijbasis from being drowned in the ocean of rain caused by Indra, or even saving himself from being chastised and punished by his own mother, becomes the most charming of all pastimes, specifically due to Krishna's playful nature. He likes to enjoy. And he, actually speaking, is the only one who has the capacity to enjoy. And everyone else is a dependent enjoyer. So when we participate in Krishna's pleasure, instead of in the material world, covered by false ego, trying to enjoy ourselves as if we were independent and looking at the world as if it is independent of Krishna, and seeing everything as if it's meant for our pleasure. But when we join the pastimes of Krishna, everything is seen, is viewed as an opportunity for Krishna's service, for giving Krishna pleasure. And then that is the pleasure of the living entity. So what is the example that the Bhagavatam gives of this? There's two examples, actually, of how the tiny living entity can enjoy. Does anyone? It's in, I think, the third canto or the... What examples? Who can remember? Yes. Yes, thank you. That's one. The hen. If the hen, I recently heard Prabhupada speak about this. He asked the devotees this question. He had this in mind, but the devotees couldn't exactly figure out what was in Prabhupada's mind and the example that he wanted. But this is what he wanted. And then the second example too. The first example is, for the hand to enjoy, it can't eat the food by itself, but rather there's a methodology. It has to feed through the mouth, feed the stomach, and then the energy, the nourishment comes automatically to the hand. And what's the second example? Watering the root, not the individual leaves. Although when you're taking care of Tulsi Devi, you have to sometimes wash the individual leaves if they have some little bugs on them, but not to feed them. They naturally get their nourishment through the root. So similarly, when we're in touch with Krishna's internal energy, then we become pleased. His internal energy means his pleasure-giving potency. So that's one of the things that I really noted, that Krishna, he's going to enjoy. He's going to do something wonderful. He's going to do something... Anyway, we know what he's going to do, but we'll start reading a little more about it. So Krishna's going to actually... We saw what happened to the cowherd boys that we heard. We saw with our ears what happened to the cowherd boys when they just simply touched or drank the water of the Jamuna. It was so filled with poison. It was reddish in poison, and we'll hear how it's boiling and bubbling with poison. And touching it, they died. And Krishna is going to enter into that lake of the Yamuna. So Sri Suka Uvatsa. So he's going to speak this verse. Sukadeva is going to speak this verse to reassure Maharaj Prickett and all of us who are in tremendous anxiety that Krishna is going to enter this lake that's so full of poison that in some way he's going to be disturbed or pained. It is said, Rupa Goswami quotes one verse from Padavali that says that Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is so great that when she thinks of saving Krishna from experiencing one drop of perspiration caused by exertion, even to save Krishna from one small amount of difficulty, she's ready to give up her life hundreds and hundreds of times. So this verse that Sukadeva Goswami speaks is to reassure Maharaj Prickett and all the devotees who are hearing at this point that there will be a happy ending and that Kaliya will indeed be vanquished. So Sukadeva Goswami says, Vilokya, Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam. Now notice in this verse, Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam, Krishna, Krishna, Hina Vibhu. So Krishna is, the words Krishna is used three times. So one meaning is Krishna, the Yamuna River. The first meaning here, seeing that the Yamuna River, Krishnam, Vilokya, seeing Dushitam, has been contaminated by poison. So this is the poetry of Sukadeva Goswami. Krishna, seeing that the Yamuna, and the Yamuna is called Krishna because both have a blackish and darkish color, and also because they are so close to each other in affection. They are none different in that sense. So then Krishna, Dushitam Krishna, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vibhu, who is all-powerful, Krishna Hina, means that black snake, Kaliya, Tasya Vishudim Anvichan, that desiring to purify tasya, that place, that yamuna, sarpam tam uda vasayet, he's going to send away kaliya for the purpose of purifying the river and for the purpose of giving mercy to kaliya by his chastisement. Interestingly enough, Srila Jiva Goswami says that Krishna could still manifest his power despite his being absorbed in his childhood pastimes. So his mood is as a cowherd boy. But yet, although he's perfectly in that mood, completely mugdata, compressed mood, enjoying the loving relationships with the cowherd boys, but still he can manifest his divine powers. So what is the consciousness of Krishna like? What is it like? No one can understand. It's unlimited. How could he, who is sarvajna, all-knowing, at the same time be mugdata, compressed of consciousness, and acting gramya samam, gramya vat, just like a cowherd boy, a village boy? So no one can understand the consciousness of Krishna. It is not possible. But it is wonderful, because he can do the inconceivable continuously. So Krishna manifested, he manifested his power to purify the river Yamuna, and Srila Jiva Goswami says, for the world's benefit, so people could visit Vraja. So he wanted to rescue Vraja from this difficult circumstance, and also he will show his compassion to Kaliya. So Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the Yamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, he desired to purify the river, and thus the Lord banished him, Kaliya, from it. So the ending is already told, that Kaliya is going to be sent away. But does that ruin the story, the pastime? No. Because Krishna does everything in such a playful, wonderful way, and in such a playful, wonderful, and attractive way, that he captures everyone's heart by the way that he performs his pastimes. So upon hearing this, and it's also very interesting that our acharyas say that this pastime was considered painful. We mentioned this before for several reasons. One reason is that, as we know, Krishna is going to be held in the coils of Kaliya. And the residents of Vrindavan don't look at this thinking, oh, Krishna is all powerful. They don't look at it thinking, oh, this is very interesting. I wonder how Krishna is going to get out of this situation. No. Because of the love, the quantity and quality of the love that they have for him, seeing Krishna in this difficult and painful situation was more than they could bear. This is the nature of love. I think it is Srila Sanatana Goswami says this, that the nature of love is anxiety for the beloved. In the material world, most of our anxieties are caused by something may happen to me. But the residents of Vrindavan, their concern was for Krishna, only for Krishna. So it was painful for that, and later on Balaram's going to sarcastically but almost chastise Krishna. Look what you have done to the residents of Vrindavan by your pastimes, O all-powerful one. Look what you have caused them. And what actually did Krishna cause them? He caused them to get drowned in an ocean of rasa, bhakti rasa samrita sindhu, an ocean of the sweet mellow of ecstatic love for Krishna. Because when the relationship with Krishna is actually established in the core of the heart, bhava bhakti or rati or stai bhav, then everything that happens just causes movements in the ocean of one's consciousness. And sometimes it's moving like this, and sometimes it's moving like that, and it's all different varieties of ecstasy. This is described in Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The different movements of the ocean, the different waves, Baba's Sandhi, the different waves, and then every once in a while, there is like a tsunami of leela, of pastimes, which completely knocks out, stuns, causes the residents of Vrindavan to fall over. And this is one of those pastimes. So, katam antarjale ghadhe. Please explain, katam. Did we read? Yeah. So, yes, please explain how this Kaliya came into the water. How did he enter into the water? Because Maharaj Prickett heard that he had been there. It must have been a long time for him to accumulate so much water, so much poison within the water of the Jamuna. So how did he actually get there? He's going to ask two questions. And one of the questions, this, how did Kaliya come to the waters of the Jamuna? That one question, Sukadeva is going to answer in the beginning of chapter 17. And the rest of this section, or this chapter, the whole chapter, is going to address the next part of the question. Nyagranad Bhagavan Ahim. How, Nagranad, how did Bhagavan subdue this serpent? Savai Bahu Yuga Vasam, who had been living there for yugas. Yatasid viprakatyatam. Please explain this. Because Maharaj Prickett, anything touching Krishna, anything connected to Krishna, hearing that gave him life, although he was soon, his body was soon to die. And that gave him ecstasy, complete ecstasy. And that's where his interest was. His interest was purely in that alone. What is connected to Krishna? This can't be imitated. From now on, I vow to only think about Krishna and not look at anything other than Krishna. We can't, it's not an intellectual position, just a determination. But naturally it springs to the heart of one who has their relationship with Krishna fully developed. So please explain this to me. This is what I want to hear. I have not eaten, I have not drunk in days, but this is what is nourishing me, hearing about Krishna. Maharaj Prickett inquired. He immediately heard that first verse. And it's interesting to note that Srila Sukadeva Goswami would have stopped narrating. He would have just passed over this painful pastime if Maharaj Prickett didn't inquire further about it, because he did not want to cause Maharaj Prickett any pain, thinking of Krishna caught in the coils of the snake, or Krishna, or the residents of Vrindavan suffering, seeing Krishna in difficulty. So Maharaj Prickett immediately asked, O learned sage, please explain how the Supreme Personality of Godhead chastised the serpent Kaliya within the unfathomable waters of the Jamuna. and how it was that Kalia had been living there for so many ages. So two questions he's asking. So this chapter will be dedicated to how did Krishna chastise Kalia and what did he do to send him away. And Sukadev now Brahman Bhagavatas Tasya. O Brahmana Bhagavatas Tasya. Bhumna Swachandavartina. That this unlimited Supreme Lord, Bhumna Swachanda, means Swatantra, means independent. He acts exactly as he wants. This unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord, O Brahmana, Maharaj Prakirdas, is going to act exactly as he wants. So what kind of pastime is he going to perform? How is he going to do this? And again, Krishna is Lila Prashottama, and he likes to play. So this serpent has completely poisoned the Yamuna. He's powerful, and he's poisoned the Yamuna, and Krishna's going to drive him out. But he's going to do it in a way that perfectly suits his nature, his playful nature. And of course, we know what this is, but we shall hear about it in a moment. Please tell me, Gopala Udara Charitam, please tell me about the magnanimous, wonderful pastimes of Gopal Krishna, who, and here it is said, Srila Sanatana Goswami will say it directly, but kastripyetamritavishan, no one can be satiated by hearing this. This was his mood, that no matter how much you speak about Krishna, my appetite to hear about Krishna is just going to increase. Because between that combination of Sukadev Goswami, such a pure reciter of the Bhagavatam, and Maharaj Prickett, such a pure devotee of Krishna, Krishna actually manifests. And therefore, in the presence of Krishna, in the presence of the all-powerful, all-sweet, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is an ocean of ecstatic dealings, no one can say, I've had enough. This is the mood of Sukadev Goswami. Now, let me do something completely different. Let me hear about something of this world. So this is actually the result of getting a taste, because everything in this world has its own taste. And if we have a taste, the taste that we relish in this world, it has to do with the modes of material nature that cover us. So you get some person who their greatest pleasure is to go to rock and roll concerts where they play the speakers and the music is so loud that you can't talk or hear, or and your ears are buzzing for days after that. But that's the pleasure of those kind of people, intoxication, etc. And then take a person who has refined tastes, who likes the symphonic music, and to hear the very sweet melodic combination of the cellos and the violins and the what else? The bassoons too, and the oboes and the whatever. And that person, you place him into that heavy metal concert. Oh, just see what's going to happen right now. Please turn to Giriras and offer your final prayers in the tent. to Giriraj for the evening. Oh, Vaisabh, dhire, dhire. Dhire, dhire. It's like the curtains of the deities closing at the end of darshan time. Oh, that last part is always the most difficult. It's so final. But he's still there, I assure you. So Maharaj Prickett is just expressing to Sukadev his desire to hear more and more about the very generous pastimes of Krishna. Generous because they will award us a taste for something not of this world, and that taste will carry us to a different realm. So Jiva Goswami states that Sukadev only summarized the pastime in one verse, that first verse, out of fear that Maharaj Prickett would be disturbed. But Maharaj Prickett, rather being disturbed, he wanted to hear more and more about Krishna, who performs his magnanimous pastimes as Gopal, the cowherd boy. And Sanatana Goswami says that because he is Bhagawan, he cannot suffer actually. His suffering does not exist. There is no suffering because these activities by Krishna are all done as play. They are done as play. They are interactions with his devotees, and the devotees want to be involved in Krishna's play, in Krishna's playful pastimes. They want to assist Krishna in his play, in his pleasure. And that is the specific desire that we want to develop. To change our position from having turned our back on Krishna, to imagine ourselves independently capable of enjoying, and turn to Krishna. That means turning to our relationship with Krishna, which means as his servant, to have him enjoy. And Sanatana Goswami ends his comment by saying, he is the master of play. And this is what we see in all the pastimes, that he's the master of play. He is the star of the drama. He is the director and producer at the same time, and he is masterful at it. And all the directing and producing is somehow done by his energies, so he can just concentrate on his position, as his role, as the star of the drama, this most beautiful and attractive cowherd boy whose name is Govinda. Krishna's pastimes, Sanatana Goswami says, are always full of pleasure because his actions follow the desires of his devotees. That is his pleasure. When Krishna was with the cowherd boys in the forest, as described. This is his calf herding pastimes in the 12th chapter of the 10th canto. When the boys saw that big, big cave that was actually Agasura, they were playful, they were dancing, they were jumping up and down, they were singing, and they were walking into that cave, half aware that it was actually Agasura, Ajagara, a great python who was situated just as if to swallow them up. They were aware of that, practically speaking, but they wanted to play. So they walked into that mouth of Agasora, thinking that anyway, even if it is a serpent, Krishna will take care of us just as he's killed this demon, just as he's done that. Krishna will protect us. They wanted to taste the sweet flavor of being saved by Krishna, of looking at Krishna and thinking, oh, Krishna, you've done it again. We have the best friend. Thank you, Krishna. You saved us again. And then next time we wrestle, I'm going to do this and do this to you, and I'm going to take away your lunch basket. But they wanted to taste the sweet flavor of being rescued by Krishna. They were always secure because they fully trusted Krishna. And this really is the heart of spiritual life, the saranagati, the surrender that really... Krishnaika Sharanam, the giving oneself to Krishna, that is the essence of spiritual life, is Gotripte Varanam Tata. That yes, I don't worry. Krishna will protect me. I'm trying to serve him. He will protect me. That type of faith is our wealth. So the cowherd boys wanted to taste that eternal moment when Agasura would be killed and Krishna would be shown to be the protector, and they would run to him and perhaps embrace him. They wanted to taste that. But Krishna, how could he, knowing everything, how could he allow the cowherd boys to walk into the mouth of the snake, even though they wanted him to protect them? How could he, being the protector, want them to walk in there? So he specifically desired that they not enter the serpent. But they desired to enter the serpent because they had different roles in the relationship. So he couldn't want them to enter and be in a difficult situation, yet they wanted to enter. So Śrīla Viśvanātha-bhakti Thakura describes that in this disagreement between the Lord and the cowherd boyfriends, the controller of the pastimes, Yogamaya, took the side of not Krishna, but the cowherd boys, and therefore they could enter in. So what does this show one about how Braja works, how the most intimate house of Krishna works, where Krishna can just do what he wants, as he wants? It works not by the power of Krishna exactly, and not even by the power of Yogamaya exactly, but by the power of the prema of the devotees. So that is what is ruling Vrindavan. Prema bhakti, the most exalted prema bhakti. That makes everyone dance. So Krishna, Sanatana Goswami says, is always happy because he follows the desires of his devotees in all circumstances. And always they are in an ocean of ecstasy. And also Sanatana Goswami concludes, his actions are an aspect. Everything he does is an aspect and colored by his prema, by his love. And therefore, because they are based on that platform, they are composed of the highest bliss. O Brahmana, Maharaj Prakrit says to Sukadev Goswami, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead freely acts according to his own desires. He is the only one, again, who is actually independent. And he is not independent. He is dependent upon the desires of his devotees. But how is he going to chastise and drive Kali away? In such a playful way he will do it. Who could be satiated when hearing the nectar of the magnanimous pastimes he performed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan? For Sukadev, for Maharaj Prickett, it's inconceivable how someone could not be fully absorbed in this extraordinary sweet taste of one's relationship with Krishna caused by hearing. To him, at this point, in love with Krishna, hearing from Sukadev Goswami, it's inconceivable that energy is of the katha is moving back and forth between the pure speaker and the qualified, pure hearer of the katha, and it's causing the pastimes to come alive for them. And therefore, Maharaj Prickett is saying, this is all I need to keep me alive. This is nourishing my soul, me. What a high level. And we, as we heard yesterday from Maharaj and described in one of the commentaries, I believe Prabhupada also mentions it too, that you have three things going on. You have the speaker speaking, and you have the hearer hearing, the main speaker speaking, and the main hearer hearing, and then there's everyone else who may not be qualified like the speaker, and may not be qualified but the hearer, but they can listen in. They can listen in. And according to who they are, if they are nivritta tasha, not having anything to do with the material world and developed in their relationship with Krishna, then they will taste the highest ecstasy. And for those who still have some lingering attachments in the material world, bhava oshud, it will act as the medicine to remove that, to cure the disease of material desires, and plant within our heart and nourish within our heart and water sravanadi jal nitya sechi sravanadi jal, water the creeper of our devotional plant, so it moves forward and increases its closeness to Krishna in the spiritual world. So now Sukadev Goswami is going to begin to speak. He's going to begin the telling of the pastime. And Jiva Goswami explains, and we've mentioned it already, that for Sukadev, this pastime was full of sorrow. So he was almost trying to avoid speaking it. Are there any lights, by the way? Just curiously. Are there any lights? Does anyone know if there's any lights? Huh? Yes, there are lights. Okay, now the next question is... But you answered my question very well, to the point. We won't even bother with the next question. Why did this pastime... Why was it full of sorrow for Sukadev? Because it brought sorrow to the people of Braja. And that caused him sorrow. But, Sanatana Goswami says, like a parrot, he repeated the pastime anyway. He repeated it to Maharaj Prickett, Sanatana Goswami says, because Maharaj Prickett was so qualified. So he begins. Kalindyam Kaleyasya Sid. Within the Kalindi River, the Yamuna River, there was a serpent whose name was Kaliya. Riddha Kastid Visha Agnina. And the whole lake in which he was living, the Yamuna passes through Vrindavan. I'm going to get the directions wrong here, but it's like an S. and Lakshmi Bano Bilvavan, then it comes around this way to Kesigat, and then it goes around to the other side and towards Akuragat and Bhatral, and then it goes on to Mathura. It's like an S. So Kaliya was in like that middle part. Kaliya Daha, we know where that is, where the famous Kadamba tree is. So he had constructed a lake of water where there was no current, practically speaking. And the water, the poison, did not flow from that lake to Mathura and disturb the Yadu dynasty. But this Kaliya had a fiery poison coming out of him. And he was with his snake friends and family that were all venomous. And they were all poisonous. And as they breathed, they filled this lake, this Kaliya Riddha, with the poison that emanated from their being. Shrapyamana paya jasmin. And this poison was like if you release oxygen underneath the water, how it bubbles out. Or if you take sulfuric acid and put some water in it, there's such an explosion of the poison, a bubbling, and it's very violent, practically speaking, even explosive. And it was fiery in that way, hot and fiery. So the poison from the snakes, especially Kaliya within the water, made this lake of the Kaliya Riddha boil. And now Sukadev gives an example to show how poisonous this water was, and boiling and poisonous. Shapyamana paya jasmin patantyupadi ga kaga. Kaga means birds. When the water birds would be flying over the lake, the fumes of the poison would cause them to fall down dead. The lake, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, was, and this is to me, this is very interesting, it was approximately 4 kroshas in diameter. And in Braja, they still use that measurement of the krosha, which is a little less than 2 kilometers if you think metric and you don't think in kroshas. Or 1 yojana, 8 miles. They still use kroshas. The Brijbasis, they talk, how far is it from here to there? Oh, not far. They say 2 kroshas, 4 kroshas away. So it was quite big, this lake. And it was boiling and boiling with poison, inhabited by the serpent Kaliya, whose fiery poison constantly heated and boiled its waters. Indeed, the vapors, the gas thus created, was so poisonous that even birds flying over the contaminated lake would fall down dead into it. Now, this next verse is the second description, and then we move the second description of this lake. So we get an idea of what Krishna is going to enter into. So it was boiling, especially the place where Kaliya was, because he himself had so much poison that place was boiling still more ferociously. And then the birds flying over would fall down dead. And viprusmata vishadormi, even drops of that water was so poisonous. And the air touching the urmi, or the waves of this poisonous lake, Marutena. So here's the poisonous lake that's boiling and so ferocious and it has its waves, and there are little drops. Naturally, when waves come, there are always some foamy drops. And then the breeze, Marutena Abhimarshita, even when the breeze, the air, would contact this, Mriyante Tiragayasya, it became so poisonous, the air was poisonous. And Mriyante Tiragayasya, on the bank of this lake, everything, praninam stira jagama, that those things that were moving and those things that were not moving, mriyante, they were all dead. This is Sukadev setting the scene for the drama that is now going to begin. A little more on description, and then the great hero is going to begin the main part of the drama. Let's move to the next one. To the next one. Yeah. Tam Chanda Vega Vishavirya Mavikshatena. So it was Chanda Vega. Like time is sometimes referred to as that powerful, most powerful of destroyers. So this powerful visha, virium, this powerful, strong poison, avichatena, was seen by Krishna, by him. And dushtam nadim, he saw the contaminated poison nadi, river. And he knew who had caused it. Chakala samyamana. Kala means that envious one. That envious person, Kaliya, had caused this. Of course, Krishna knew this. But then he remembered Samyamanam Avitara, that he had come as an avatar. He had descended to this world to subdue such envious persons, such as Kaliya. And then Krishna Kadambam Adiruja Adiruya. So he climbed up this one huge kadamba tree that is still living to this day. He climbed up this one tree that was alive on the shore of the Jamuna. Atitungam, Atitungam, he climbed Atitungam to the very top of the tree. And why was this tree alive? It is said that Garuda, there's a pastime from the Puranas where Garuda, and there was between, there was a fight, a cursing and a bed and a gambling, and the sun god was involved, and the tails of the horses, and Garuda rescued his mother from being eternally in servitude towards her sister, by bringing her a drop of some of the amrita that the demigods had churned. Garuda had done this. And on his way to deliver this to Nagaloka, this amrita to Nagaloka, he stopped in three places: Prayag, Haridwar, and Sri Vrindavan Dham. And with that amrita, he placed a little on the tree, this kadamba tree. And because of the deathlessness that the amrita caused, this tree was not affected by the poison. That's what some say. Others say that the tree was kept alive knowing that one day, Krishna is going to touch me with his lotus feet. And that thought was enough to keep him alive, the tree alive, her alive, because the Kadamba tree represents Srimati Radharani. So Krishna went over to the tree. There are different descriptions of how Krishna got there by different acharyas. But one is the coward boys had just died and they came back to life and Krishna decided what he was going to do. He was going to climb the tree and of course jump in the Yamuna. So he started walking to the tree and the coward boys said, "Oh Krishna, where are you going? You're going so close to the poisonous Yamuna that is filled with so many poisonous snake holes along the shore. Please don't go. Don't go. We'll come with you." "No, no, no. You stay here," because they would never let him do what he was going to do right now. "Please stay here. I am just going to climb this Kadamba tree because I want to see if Garuda has left nectar in this tree. I want to see if there's any still there. I'm coming right back in a moment." So Krishna walked to the tree and Atitungam. Does anyone remember what Atitungam means? He climbed very high to the very top of the tree, where he could bounce on the top branches like a diving board, like an Olympic diver jumping into the Olympic pool. Krishna was going to bounce on this high tree and then gracefully jump into the poisonous, ferociously bubbling Yamuna. But before Krishna jumped, Krishna, being who Krishna is, first,
he slapped his arm like wrestlers do, making a loud sound. Now I have to find all the pieces again. Here they are. Okay. He slapped his arms like that. But that's not all he did.
He tied his belt very firmly and he tucked his turban, and he did this also before, something very similar before he fought with the elephant Kuvalayapita before entering the arena of the Dhanurajagya or the wrestling arena. Krishna just does everything in a way that captures everyone's attention. It wasn't enough that he's bouncing on the branches, is going to dive into the boiling Yamuna, but he makes sure that his belt is tight and his hair is tied back and all the hair is underneath his turban and it's properly situated on and everything's okay. And then Niyapatad, he jumped Visha Ut into the poisonous water of the Yamuna. Now, we have to move back a little bit in the sense of not seeing this incident just by hearing it of Krishna jumping in, but by thinking that the cowherd boys who Krishna just saved were watching him. And they saw the effect of the poison on them. They saw that it was boiling. And even the cows who loved Krishna saw what Krishna was doing. And they saw Krishna jump into the water. The description of their reactions we will get to, but not quite yet, because Krishna has just begun the playful aspect of his pastime. So let's go right to the next Sanskrit, please. So Saparidha Purushasara. Purushasara means the essence, the sar, the cream of Purushas, of men, of males. He jumped, Nipata Vega. He jumped into Saparidha. And Nipata Vega means the force of his falling in. He's a little boy. He's much younger than you are. He's just a little boy. And he jumped in, and the force of his fall into it. First of all, a huge wave came out. Huge. That went ekasata dhanur. 100 bow lengths. And if you're not familiar with that, we can convert that. A bow length is about like this, and we'll estimate this to be 2 meters. So 2 meters times 100 bow lengths is, yes, that's 2 football fields. A huge wave came out of poison that was reddish in color. It was no longer the clear blackish tinge, Yamuna. But due to the poison, it was reddish in color, and only this huge wave came out by the force of the fall of little Gopal, Govinda. And Sankshobhir, Uraga, the snakes in this river, they began to become more and more agitated because they understood that their home had been challenged by something of great power, of great size. And they began to breathe more heavily in and out. And their breathing exuded, made more poison enter the Yamuna because it was stronger and stronger, their breathing. So Parya, Pluto, Visha, Kashaya, there was a flood of poison, fearsome poison. Bibhisana Omya, poisonous wave. Davan Dhanosatam Anantabalasya Kimtat. And this was from little Krishna jumping in. But it is not little Krishna who's just a little boy, although he is a little boy. But he's also the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's not only the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's also this Lila Purushottam who likes to play. So what is he going to do when he enters the water? What do you think he's going to do? He likes to play, and he can do whatever he wants. So he's going to start to play in the water. And this will be the last verse that we shall read. Let's go right to it tonight. Tasya ridde viharato. Viharato means vihar. Vihari. Playful. He's the one who plays. So he began to play in the water, which was filled with poisonous snake and all their poison. And he began his Bhujadanda Gorna. He began to swirl around his mighty arms and playing in the water and making sounds in the water of playfulness, like children in a pool or in the Yamuna or any river. They play and make sounds and really enjoy themselves. So Krishna did this. And that sound in the water, Vargosham Angavaravarena Vikramasya, he, the little boy who likes to play and who is so powerful, He showed his prowess like a great elephant, although he was a little boy. So as Krishna was playing in the water, making these sounds by swirling his arm, looking very, very beautiful and full of happiness, Ashutya tad swa sadanadi bhavam nariksha. So who heard these sounds? Kaliya. And he understood nariksha. He saw or understood, my residence is being challenged. It is being invaded. There is a trespasser here, and no one has done this before. So he immediately came out. Chakshushrava Kaliya Samsarat. He came forward. Amrishyamana, unable to tolerate this. He couldn't tolerate it. But I have to read one more verse. He couldn't tolerate it. Please go to the next verse. Tam prekshaniya. Please go. Tam prekshaniya. Now while Krishna was doing this, and Kaliya had come forward, Kaliya saw that this boy is prekshaniya. He is very attractive. And he is Sukumara. He is very delicate. Gana avadum. And he's glowing white like a rain cloud. If you've ever seen a Vrindavan rain cloud in the rainy season with the sun shining through it, it is effulgent, it is dark, it is attractive. So Kaliya saw delicate, attractive Krishna right before him, glowing like a cloud. Srivatsa Pita Vasna. He had the Srivats marking of Lakshmi Devi on his chest. And he had Pita Vasanam, yellow garments, and Smita Sundaram Asyam. And what was he doing as he was playing with his arms? Smiling despite the fiery, turbulent, ferociously turbulent, poisonous water. Kridantam apratibhayam. He was just playing. Fearlessly, he was playing with the snakes surrounding him. And Kaliya, practically speaking, right in front of him. Kamalo Dara Angrim, describing Krishna. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that Sukadeva is describing Krishna's beauty here, and describing his Angri, his Kamala Odhara Angri, his lotus feet that were so soft and pink, and Krishna was so attractive and so delicate. He's adopted the mood of the Brijbasis and concentrating on the beauty of Krishna just to point out how wicked Kaliya actually was. So Krishna fearlessly playing with his soft lotus feet and his yellow garments. And Kaliya was right in front of him. And immediately he saw him. Sandasya Mamasu. Immediately bit Krishna. Beautiful, playful, little Krishna on his chest. And this is why Sukadev was hesitant to even describe this. He bit him on his chest immediately. This is how he reacted to Krishna's beauty. Envious, full of the poison of envy. Rusha, angry. Bujaya, chada. He bit him, Bujanga, and grabbed him, enveloped him in Bujanga, the arm of the snake is his coil, and he grabbed Krishna in that. Jiva Goswami says that Krishna was so beautiful, appeared just the opposite to Kaliya. He grabbed Krishna and he began to squeeze him. Srila Sanatana Goswami, perhaps to avoid the pain of thinking of Krishna being bitten and squoze by Kaliya, he has a whole different style of meaning to this. And he says, Kaliya's biting him was like his kissing him, and his gripping Krishna was like his embracing him, and his anger was out of his prema of bhakti, since he was so beautiful. And Sanatana Goswami says, because of Kaliya's great love and his great expression of love for Krishna, Krishna would therefore later show him so much mercy. Okay, we'll end here. I guess we'll a few minutes of kirtan and then we'll end at 6. You can think of Krishna in this situation.
Hare Krishna.
everyone.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama.
Again. Bhagavatam ki jai, Krishna Kali ki jai, this wonderful Kali Dhamana pastime ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Hare.